This is a lecture for Lesson 18 of the BSF study, Revelation, The Hope. I wished I hadn't dared to glance at the young father's crumpled face. With sagging shoulders, he hugged the little blue casket before he pried himself from it and tenderly set his precious cargo down in front of me. I watched his knees buckle under the sheer weight of his pain as he laid his tiny, perfect son, who was born sleeping, to rest. As the thud of that decorative box landing on the flower-adorned platform echoed and reverberated into eerie emptiness, a silent scream scored through my heart. I knew this moment would be etched in my memory forever. How can this be happening? Why? Lord, how long? My inner anguish that day, as I helped to lead a funeral service for a grieving family, was but a drop in the ocean compared to the grief they were experiencing. Yet as I locked eyes with weeping parents who did not yet know Jesus, I read these words of hope from Revelation 21, praying that one day they would personally experience their power. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Is it hard for you to imagine a world where everything is new? A world without death or mourning or pain? A world where parents don't have to bury their children and communities aren't ripped apart by conflict? A world where disease and aging are no more? A world where all injustice and oppression has been perfectly dealt with? I imagine it might be, because for many of you listening, pain is a daily prescription dealt to you in life. We're intentionally pausing this week to ponder a central theme that rises from the pages of Revelation: perseverance through suffering. This theme is relevant to all of us because today we will all either be feeling the sting of present trouble, healing from the wounds of past pain, or on the edge of a challenging season. The book of Revelation is written by a suffering person to suffering people. John the Apostle is in exile. He's imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of his testimony about Jesus Christ. And he's writing to suffering believers during the time of the Roman Empire when the Emperor Domitian is persecuting Christians. God's people are losing their jobs, their ability to make money, their means to provide for themselves. They're losing their homes and even their lives. Some are being thrown to lions or burned at the stake. So, Revelation is written from a sufferer to sufferers and gives us a heavenly and helpful perspective on suffering as God's people. Last week in our study of Revelation 13, we heard that God promises victory. We also learned this world will get worse. We were encouraged to prepare for Satan's intensifying attacks, and we were assured that no matter how powerful God's enemies are, God is more powerful still. Jesus knows what you are going through. He is with you. There is a sovereign limit to every believer's trials. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you will be transformed as you stay faithful through pain and persecution, and one day your suffering will end forever. So we're going to explore this theme of suffering throughout Scripture in two divisions. Number one, the problem of suffering. And number two, God's purpose and power in suffering. All to learn that God strengthens his people to persevere through suffering. So let's begin by going back to where the problem of suffering originated. Rewind with me to the very beginning of time. Do you remember what God said when he looked at his creation? Everything he'd made? It was very good. Beautiful. perfect Eden, a garden of delight, a paradise of unbroken fellowship with God and perfect harmony among people and animals. But unfortunately, someone who wanted to steal, kill, and destroy everything good that God had made entered the scene. The serpent, Satan, God's enemy, that usurper who desires to ruin God's perfect world and exert his evil rule over humankind, tempted Adam and Eve to disobey God. God had warned them, "If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." They did. As soon as Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, Genesis 3 verse 7 tells us, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked." Sin had entered and infected Eden. A death sentence was passed on all humanity. In his letter to the Romans, Paul explains, "For just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. From that moment on, the world has seen nothing but trouble. With sin came death and shame and suffering." As a result, according to Romans 8 verse 22, the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So that's where suffering originated. Now let's think about the problem of suffering experienced. Because at its heart, suffering is the experience of loss. The loss of someone or something you love or value. A loss that results in physical, emotional, mental, spiritual pain, grief, and heartache. And because of the fall, to this very day, the world groans and labors with those ongoing pangs of loss. Loss of innocence, loss of intimacy with God, loss of tempers, loss of loved ones, loss of life. We hear all around us the groans of grief and gruesome war, the cries of conflict, the moans of murder and bloodshed, the anguish of abuse. We watch helplessly as hordes of people numb their shame with damaging addiction. We witness the devastation of debilitating disease. Surrounded by trouble and all too conscious of that unspoken brokenness in our own hearts, God's people treasure something, treasure what no trouble can ever steal away, and that's God's precious word. You see, scripture is packed with the experiences of suffering people. The Old Testament story of Job has comforted and helped believers for centuries. Job, he's a man the Bible describes as righteous before God, but he experiences a series of terrible trials. He loses almost everything he loves. Job 1 verses 13 to 19 record how Job's sons, daughters, servants, and animals are slaughtered in one single day. He loses his home. He loses his children. He loses his wealth. And then he loses his health. The conversations that follow between Job, his wife, his friends, and God provide profound insight into the human experience of pain. And they also uncover important questions suffering people ask about God's nature and character. Job asks God why he allows the righteous to suffer and the wicked to prosper in chapter 21, verse 78. He asks why God seems so distant amid his pain in chapter 23, verses 3 to 4. He asks why God has created him only for him to experience such immense trial in this life in chapter 10, verse 18 to 19. Have you ever asked God these kinds of questions? I certainly have. Well, Job's story doesn't give us all the answers, but his life does show us that living in pain and loss is a universal experience. Innocent people do suffer. Bad things happen to all of us, young and old, rich and poor, believer and unbeliever. Job's story also teaches us that though we do experience consequences from personal sin, much pain comes simply as a result of living in a fallen world. Job suffered from the mistreatment and wickedness of others. He was hurt by insensitive friends. He was directly afflicted by his accuser Satan, and even his wife urges him to curse God and die. However, ultimately, Job came to understand that his life was in God's hands. Though he couldn't understand what God was doing, he came back to simple trust in his Creator, expressed in chapter 12, verse 10 as, "In his hand is the life of every creature." You see, when we can't comprehend why we have such heavy burdens to carry, when we can't understand why others seem to have it so easy, when we ask why God feels distant, and even when we question our very purpose, we can know our suffering is carried. Carried by one who willingly left the glories of heaven and chose to bear it on our behalf. Carried by one who stepped into the sinful world and took on the struggle of the human condition. Carried by one who knew what it was like to be betrayed by family and friends. You see, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was lied about, hounded, bruised, and harassed. Yet amid it all, he comforted the mourning. He cared for the brokenhearted. He wept at Lazarus's tomb. He grieved over Jerusalem. He prepared his disciples for a future full of persecution. Jesus knows all about your suffering, and he is the only one who can help you bear it. Because he, the perfect Savior, carried the curse of sin, carried the weight of shame, paid the penalty of death in full before he rose again in victory over death, the devil, and the grave. Our very deliverance came because God's Son chose to suffer a cruel death on the cross to redeem sinners from sin's grip. Our very salvation came as a result of Jesus' suffering. Hear the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, verses 4 to 5. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Here is the incredible truth that strengthens us as we suffer. Because Jesus carried our punishment for sin, because he took up our pain, we know one day we will see all suffering ended forever. We'll see that glorious hope consummated in the coming weeks as we continue our study of Revelation and we read about when Christ will return and establish his eternal kingdom. In that day, suffering will end because the damaging presence of sin itself will be gone. Just listen to these hope-laced words from Revelation 7, verse 17. "The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. All because our God suffered for you and me. He suffered so that we can experience victory over death and life everlasting with him." Until that day, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you can be certain of this. You are held in the very hands of God. No one, no pain can snatch you away from the one who carried your pain himself on a cruel cross. And even if the questions about your suffering remain unanswered, God can be trusted to carry you through it. And that's our first principle for today. God carries his people through their suffering. God carries his people through their suffering. Does your pain feel too heavy to carry? Do your knees buckle under the weight of this world's brokenness? Take Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4 to your heart today, where God says, "I have made you and I will carry you." The last few months have been some of the hardest in my life. As I've walked through the pain of deep hurt, disappointment, and weariness, I've had to learn to let go and let the Saviour who made me and knows me carry me when my own strength wouldn't allow me to carry on? Will you admit your weakness and allow yourself to be carried? There's a song that says, if he carried the weight of the world upon his shoulders, I know, my brother, my sister, that he will carry you. So while I can't answer why you may be weeping or weary today, I can tell you that you have a Saviour who will carry you through all the way to glory. As we come now to our second division, we're going to consider God's purpose and power in suffering. We know that God carries his people through their suffering, but whom to? Why so? What for? Our lesson notes for this week remind us that at the end of his painful path, Job declared, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." In other words, before all this happened, God, I knew about you. Now I really know you. Though suffering is painful and it raises tough questions, God can use it to bring us into deeper intimacy with Christ and greater maturity in our faith. Paul, James, and Peter were three key leaders in the early church. All three faced fiery trials and were eventually martyred for the cause of Christ. And you know something? All three men mention in their epistles that mysterious relationship between suffering, knowing Jesus, and developing perseverance. So let's look at three ways God uses tough times for our good and his glory. Knowing Jesus, developing perseverance, and enduring to overcome. In his letter to the Philippian church, Paul makes a bold statement in chapter 3, verses 8 and 10. He says, "I consider everything a loss because of what? The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ." And then he says, "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Does that seem radical to you? Remember that in the first century, Christians were dying in droves, some in incredibly gruesome ways. Sure, not everyone's going to be crucified or burned to death like many of the early Christians were. You might not be eaten by lions, beheaded, or shot for your faith. However, today, over 360 million believers across the world, and many in our global BSF family, still face persecution or discrimination for their allegiance to Christ. Whatever loss, pain, or persecution we face, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual, it's an opportunity to share in Christ's sufferings, and in doing so, to know him more and become more like him. We count all things as loss when we discover the surpassing worth of knowing the Saviour. For it's in the losing of our lives we gain more of him. And one of the ways we become more like Jesus is by developing perseverance. Imagine with me for a moment two Coke cans that look exactly the same on the outside. You lift them in each hand and you notice one crucial difference. One is empty, the other is full. Squeeze that empty can and it's going to crush easily. Try to squeeze the full one and you're barely going to make a dent. It's the same with us. What's on the inside, what God develops in us, is everything when the force of that pressure comes. When we endeavor to respond to difficulty in God's way, he produces within us an extraordinary ability to handle trials of all kinds. So perseverance is that hopeful, enduring, patient quality that bears up under pressure or difficulty. James explains in chapter 1, verses 3 to 4 of his letter. He says, "The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Why? Because as Paul could testify in Romans 5 verses 3 to 4, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Peter develops this thought even further to include perseverance as proof of true, mature faith. Listen to this in chapter 1, verses 6 to 7 of his epistle. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Have you ever run a grueling race where you pushed through the pain barrier and points of exhaustion to the finish line? I'm no athlete, but I'm told that embracing the pain, increasing your tolerance for discomfort, and being aware of the purpose is the key to endurance. If you've ever pushed through the pain to the finish in an earthly race, you'll know the joy and that feeling of elation when the struggle is over and the victory is won. What is produced when our faith comes under pressure and we seek to know Jesus above all else? Perseverance. What is the fruit of perseverance? Character. And what is the outcome? Hope, maturity, joy, completeness, and proof of genuine faith in the end. Pause for a minute. Think about how great your joy is going to be when you see Jesus face to face and he rewards you for your faithfulness. Don't give up. Believe that God will finish the work in you he has started. Keep seeking the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. Don't give up. Please know I don't say this lightly. Your pain matters. Each of your tears is precious. God cares about and hears every deep groan of your heart, even the silent ones that are so deep you don't think they're ever going to make it to the surface. But when you find yourself under grueling pressure, you can choose to believe this truth. None of your tears are wasted. God will use your pain, your suffering, to accomplish his higher purposes in your life. Trust his purifying and perfecting work in you for your good and his glory. By his power, he will develop in you the perseverance you need so that you will be complete, not lacking anything. Isn't that amazing? God's presence is always with you. The Holy Spirit lives within every child of God to help us know Jesus more, to develop perseverance in us as we suffer, and to give us the power to endure and overcome our suffering. How can we know this is true? Because suffering in this sin-marred world is not the end of the story. Suffering has been and will be overcome. That is the promise and the victory of the cross. God calls and casts our vision beyond the suffering of this world to the eternal glory to come. The Apostle Paul declares this glorious promise, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is now not yet seen will become seen in the glorious eternal kingdom that we have seen this year already in Revelation. Because Christ has overcome, the rewards overcoming saints can look forward to include, as outlined in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, eating from the tree in paradise, a white stone with a new name, the crown of life, power over the nations, the morning star, being clothed in white, being made a pillar in God's temple. What joy is set before us, brothers and sisters, as we endure to the end. Our Lord Jesus gave us the perfect example of what enduring and overcoming look like. Hebrews 12 verses 1 to 3 say, "Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honour beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people so that you won't become weary and give up. Jesus' path from the cradle to the cross to the crown reminds us to count all else but loss and endure faithfully, fixing our eyes on him, knowing his glorious kingdom is our promised future and reward. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." How can God's people experience trouble and yet remain victorious? We endure. We hold on to Jesus, knowing he lived and walked in our broken world, and he has already overcome. His power is made perfect in our weakness. One day suffering will end, and his eternal reward awaits us. And that leads us to the take-home truth for this division. God empowers his people to endure their suffering. God empowers his people to endure their suffering. Have you ever felt weary? Have you ever felt like giving up? I can remember one morning in recent months where I'd been asked to lead worship, and I'm lying in the dark in my room, drowning under a blanket of despair, trying to prepare my shaky heart, frozen, emotionally immobilized, tears streaming down my face, wondering how to muster the strength or courage to get up and face the day, let alone be given the privilege of leading others into their day with God. In and of myself, I had nothing. And I mean literally nothing to give. But you see, it's in those times when we most keenly sense our own fragility and weakness. Those times when we think, I have got nothing. You need to come and do something through me, Lord. Those times when circumstances or woundedness or struggles, when energy is low or storm clouds threaten, it's in those times God carries us through. It's in those times God is developing perseverance in us. It's in those times God shows his power alone to be sufficient in our weakness. It's in those times he gently helps us press through the pain barrier, endure, and overcome. In the early morning dark that day, light dawned in my desperate prayers. And God helped me articulate some questions in my own heart that he tenderly answered from his word in Psalm 23. My can'ts became, but you can. I did lead worship that day. And as I shared these words with the group that morning, it turned out they also brought deep comfort to others. And I pray that if some of these questions are echoing around your heart and your mind as you listen, that they'll be of some encouragement to you too. Do you feel because of what you're facing that God couldn't really love you? Be reminded today that the Lord is your shepherd and he will carry you through. Do you feel like you've got nothing left to keep going? Remember, you lack nothing in him. Are you weary and desperate for rest? He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He refreshes your soul. He guides you along the right path for his name's sake. Are you afraid of sorrow, of death, of the future? Listen to the psalmist as he continues, "Even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Are you hurting because of betrayal or opposition? "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." And here's the truth we need to endure and overcome. "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How do we sum all this up? Well, there's no doubt. Suffering is a huge problem and it raises hard questions. But suffering also leads us, if we will let it, to a very big God. The perfect Lamb who carried your cross is also your shepherd who will carry you through. He will bring a stop to it all. He will erase our sin, suffering, and sorrow forever. And one day we will join him in his everlasting, victorious kingdom. Pain may be a part of your story, but it is not the end of your story. Your eternal dwelling place is with him. And one day he will make all things new. And in the in-between, what happens? Suffering can be understood as pain with a purpose. Will you allow that hope to sink into your heart today? Let hard times remind your heart that this world is not your home. As you walk closer and closer to heaven and your eternal reward, will you push through that pain barrier to new depths of knowing your Savior, to greater maturity in him? Will you ask him to develop in you the perseverance you need to bear up under that pressure? Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, challenge by challenge, will you trust him to give you the faith to endure and overcome, knowing that Jesus has already overcome the world? God strengthens his people to persevere through suffering. From 1 John 5, verse 4, and whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Amen.
This lecture was written and produced by Bible Study Fellowship. For more information on BSF resources and Bible study groups, please visit bsfinternational.org.